Okay, so imagine this, right? You just won a marathon. But here's the catch. You secretly rode a motorcycle for like most of the race. Would you still deserve that shiny medal, the trophy?
Ethically, probably not.
Yeah, probably not, right? That kind of moral dilemma, that's exactly what we're diving into today.
Oh, this can be good.
We're talking McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures Corp, a case that really shook up contract law, made everyone rethink what it actually means to like really fulfill an
Oh, it's a
agreement.
classic for a
Oh,
reason.
it is. Big time. And get this. Even if a contract itself is totally legal, the way you go about fulfilling it, well, that could cost you everything.
Yeah, that's the tricky part, isn't it? The how, not just the what.
So, to set the stage, we've got McConnell, right? He's like this middleman in a movie deal. He scores this big contract with Commonwealth Pictures, gets his upfront fee, $10,000. Not bad.
This is pretty straightforward so far.
It does, right? But then, Commonwealth, they refuse to pay him the rest. They accuse him of bribery to secure the deal in the first place.
Oh, so they're saying he used their money to basically bribe his way into the contract.
That's exactly what they're alleging.
Wow, that's a bold move.
It is. The lower courts actually sided with McConnell initially. They were like, yeah, you got a contract, you get paid. But then New York's highest court, they dropped this total bombshell, completely overturned the whole thing.
Yeah, this case went all the way to the top.
And what's so interesting is it wasn't about the distribution contract being illegal itself, right? It was about how McConnell got it. That's the big issue the court had.
That's a crucial distinction for sure. How you get there matters.
Huge difference. Put yourself in McConnell's shoes for a sec, You think you've done everything right, got the contract, you're ready for that big payday.
And bam, the rug gets pulled out.
Totally. So how much wiggle room do you actually have when you're fulfilling a contract? Is it all just like strictly by the book, the letter of the law? Or are we suddenly expected to be like saints the whole way through?
Yeah, that's what this case really grapples with. Can you be too corrupt to collect? The court had to decide. If you use, potentially illegal means to get a legal contract, does that wipe out the whole agreement? And their answer, a big fat yes. But with some caveats, of course. There are always caveats in
Of
law.
course. So how did they get to that? What was the reasoning, the logic behind it?
Justice Desmond, he wrote the majority opinion. He laid out a four-part test to figure out if this, what he called illegal performance, would actually void a contract. First off, super basic. The contract has to be valid to begin with. No surprises there.
Makes sense.
Second, the plaintiff, in this case, McConnell, right. He had to have done something seriously wrong, some real misconduct, while doing his part of the deal.
You're not talking like a parking ticket on his way to sign the papers.
No, much bigger than that. It has to be substantial, something that really crosses the line.
Gotcha. So, major misconduct.
Third, this bad behavior, it can't just be some random side thing. It has to be a core part of how they actually fulfilled the contract.
So, if I'm understanding this right, it's not just about doing something shady. It has to be so tied up with the contract that it basically like poisons the whole thing, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And to really drive the point home, Justice Desmond, he actually quoted this legal maxim. He said, "No one shall profit by their own fraud." Basically saying, hey, even if you technically did what the contract said, we're not going to let you profit from potentially corrupt actions.
Wow, that's pretty strong. I bet this whole decision caused a lot of debate.
Oh, absolutely. This case, it sparked all sorts of arguments, even within the court itself. Two judges, they disagreed really strongly with the majority ruling.
Okay, so let's hear from the dissenters then. First up, Judge F. Bosel. What were his main concerns?
Judge F. Bosel, he thought this whole ruling was just way too messy for the real world. Like, how do you even apply this consistently? His argument was, as long as the contract itself is legal and it doesn't require you to do anything illegal, the court shouldn't be able to punish someone for how they chose to get it done.
So he's saying, let's keep it simple. If the contract's clean, what happens behind the scenes is irrelevant.
Basically, yeah. He was really worried that this ruling would just give people an easy out to get out of their obligations. Like, imagine this. Someone commissions, I don't know, like a beautiful painting, right? Contract's all good, totally legal. But then later they find out the artist, maybe they use some questionable ways to get the materials, not exactly ethical sourcing. Could they then use this ruling to refuse payment, claiming illegal performance?
That's an interesting point. So this ruling is a bit of a double-edged sword, right? On one hand, it's pushing for ethical behavior, but then on the other hand, people could easily exploit it.
That was exactly Judge F. Boesel's point, and his dissent, that was just the start. Judge Van Voorhees, he went even further in his opposition to the majority, saying this whole thing might actually backfire and, like, encourage the bad behavior they're trying to prevent.
Okay, now that's a twist. How could letting someone off the hook for potentially shady dealings actually lead to more misconduct? I don't get it.
That's where this case gets even juicier. Judge Van Voorhees argued that by letting Commonwealth Pictures keep the potentially tainted profits, the court was basically rewarding them for crying foul.
So instead of punishing the person who maybe acted unethically, they're hitting the one who might have unknowingly benefited.
Exactly. He was worried this would create a system where it's better to accuse someone of misconduct than to actually, you know, hold up your end of the bargain, like a get-out-of-jail-free card for anyone trying to back out of a deal.
That's a really compelling argument. So we've got this landmark ruling that, on the one hand, wants to raise the bar for ethics in business, but on the other hand, could open the door to all sorts of manipulation. It really makes you think, whose side are you on? Does the need for ethical conduct outweigh the potential for abuse?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures, it's not just about some legal technicality. It's about fairness, incentives, the very principles we want our legal system to be built on. And sometimes figuring out what's right, well, it's not always black and white. It really makes you think about, like, the big picture, you know? What do we want from our legal system? Do we want strict rules, just sticking to the words on paper? Or do we want something that takes into account, like the ethics of the situation? McConnell really brought those two ideas into conflict.
And that conflict is still going strong. McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures, it's become this huge reference point in legal battles ever since. Courts and legal experts, they're still wrestling with its implications. It's not like this case settled the debate. It kind of, like, threw gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, totally. McConnell made everyone step back and look past the black and white of the contract, you know? It forced them to consider, like, the ethics, the shades of gray, and how people actually behave. It's been really interesting to see how courts have interpreted it and used it in later rulings.
Let's fast forward a bit.
Yeah.
How has McConnell actually played out in the real world? Have there been any big rulings that have, like, expanded its reach or, you know, narrowed it down?
One area where McConnell has had a huge impact is in cases about fraud and misrepresentation. Remember, the court said the misconduct had to be grave and central to how the contract was carried out. But what does that actually mean in practice? That's what courts have been trying to figure out ever since.
Right. So, like, a little white lie here or there, that probably wouldn't be enough. But what about more deliberate deception? Like, flat out lying during negotiations to get a better deal. Would that qualify as grave misconduct under McConnell?
That's the million-dollar question.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer, well, not so simple. Some courts have taken a super broad view of McConnell. They've ruled that even fraudulent inducement, you know, lying to get someone to sign that, can be enough to void the entire contract. Your thinking is, if you lied to get the contract in the first place, everything after that is tainted.
So even if you technically followed the terms, if it was built on lies, the whole thing collapses.
Yeah.
That feels like it would have a huge impact on how people approach negotiations, right?
Absolutely. This interpretation is basically saying you can't just clean up your act once the contract's signed. You have to be on the up and up right from the very first handshake.
The stakes just got a lot higher, huh? But I bet there are people who disagree with such a broad application of McConnell.
You're absolutely right. There's a strong counter-argument. Some people say that extending McConnell to cover things that happened before the contract was even signed, that just creates way too much uncertainty. It could destabilize the whole idea of contract law, you know, make it unreliable. Some courts have taken a more restrictive view, saying McConnell should only apply to illegal things that happened while the contract was being carried out, not in the lead up to it.
So they're drawing a clear line.
Mm-hmm.
Before the contract is one thing, after is another.
Exactly. They're worried that applying McConnell to, like, pre-contract shenanigans would lead to endless bickering and lawsuits, making it way harder to actually enforce contracts.
It's like opening Pandora's box,
yeah.
Right? Suddenly any contract could be challenged based on something someone maybe said or didn't say during negotiations.
That's the concern. And it highlights a tricky thing about legal precedents. They're supposed to provide guidance, but there's always room for interpretation, and different courts will apply them in different ways depending on the specifics of the case.
So where does that leave us? What's the current state of the law when it comes to McConnell and how it applies to fraud or misrepresentation?
It's still evolving. And there's no easy answer. What we do know is that McConnell has definitely broadened what courts consider grave misconduct when it comes to fulfilling a contract. But the exact boundaries of that, well, those are still being tested and refined through new court cases.
That's just, lawyers and businesses need to stay on their toes, watch how these rulings develop, and be ready to argue their cases within this constantly changing landscape.
Exactly. It's a dynamic field, and understanding not just the words of the law, but how it's being interpreted and applied in the real world, that's crucial.
Okay, we've talked about fraud and misrepresentation, but what other areas of contract law have been affected by McConnell? Has it had any influence on things like breaches of fiduciary duty or conflicts of interest?
It certainly has. McConnell has popped up in a lot of cases involving breaches of fiduciary duty, especially when someone's used their position of trust to, you know, gain an unfair advantage or line their own pockets.
So it's not just about obvious illegal acts like bribery. It can also apply to more subtle forms of misconduct where someone abuses their power.
Exactly. McConnell has, in a way, broadened our understanding of what's considered unethical behavior in contracts. It's not just about checking off the legal requirements. It's about acting in good faith and maintaining ethical standards throughout the whole relationship.
That's a pretty significant shift. It suggests courts are more and more willing to consider the ethics of how people behave in contracts, even if it might not be technically illegal.
Precisely. And we'll probably see that continue as business relationships get more complicated, especially with all the new technology and intellectual property stuff. The line between what's legal and what's ethical, it's getting blurrier. And McConnell gives us a way to navigate those gray areas.
It seems like McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures wasn't just a one-time decision. It's become this, like, foundational piece of contract law, shaping how we think about ethics, fairness, and what's acceptable behavior in contracts.
You got it. It's not just a legal precedent, it's a conversation starter. It reminds us that even in something as seemingly objective as a contract, moral considerations play a huge role in determining what happens when things go wrong.
Well, it's clear that McConnell has had a deep and lasting impact on contract law. It's raised tough questions about ethical conduct, opened up new ways to bring lawsuits, and forced courts to figure out how to balance competing interests. It's really amazing how one single case can have these, like, huge ripple effects, you know, change the whole landscape of a legal field. We've broken down the McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures ruling, seen how it's played out in later cases, and now it's time to get practical.
Yeah, let's take all this legal theory and turn it into, like, real-world advice. How can lawyers and businesses use the lessons from McConnell to, you know, protect themselves, make sure they're operating ethically and strategically?
Okay, so let's say you're a lawyer and you're advising a client who's about to sign a big contract. What are those key takeaways from McConnell that you would absolutely, like, drill into their head?
The first thing I'd emphasize is, look, we're in a new era of contract law, right? It's not enough to just have a legally sound contract, all the I's dotted and E's crossed. You got to conduct yourself ethically throughout the entire process from start to finish. I'd explain to my clients, even if they think they can pull a fast one, get away with some shady tactics under McConnell, that could seriously come back to bite them.
So it's not just about the letter of the law. It's about the spirit of the agreement, right? The way you do things matters just as much as what's written down.
Exactly. Ethical performance is now a big deal when it comes to enforcing contracts. And another thing I tell clients, document everything. I mean everything. Keep detailed records of all your communications, your negotiations, every decision made. You want a crystal clear paper trail that shows good faith every step of the way.
So it's like building yourself an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Just in case there's ever a dispute about whether there was any grave misconduct.
Exactly. The more evidence you have to back up what you did, the stronger your position is going to be if the other side tries to use McConnell to, you know, wiggle out of the deal.
Makes total sense. But let's flip it around for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're representing a client who thinks the other side might have, you know, done something a little shady? What's the strategy there?
If there's even a hint of misconduct, the first step is, it's investigation time. You got to gather all the evidence you can, try to figure out if what allegedly happened meets that grave and central standard that McConnell set. You got to remember, not every little slip up is going to void a contract. It has to be something big, something directly related to the core of the agreement.
So you need to build a really strong case showing that what they did was seriously wrong, not just a minor mistake.
Exactly. You got to prove that their actions weren't just ethically questionable, but that they actually had a real impact on the contract itself. If you can do that, then you've got a good argument for either getting the whole contract thrown out or saying, hey, they don't get paid.
But let's be honest, the world's not always black and white. What about those situations where the alleged misconduct is kind of like in a gray area? How do you advise clients when it's not so clear cut?
Those are the tough ones. And the law, unfortunately, doesn't always have easy answers. There are always going to be situations where it's hard to say for sure what's ethical and what's not. In those cases, I tell my clients to be extra careful, you know, really think through all the risks and potential consequences.
So it's about weighing the potential benefits of the deal against the risk that the other party might accuse them of something or that the whole thing could get thrown out later.
Exactly. Sometimes the smartest move is to just walk away from a deal, even if it looks good at first glance. It's all about balancing the short-term gains with your long-term reputation and legal safety.
McConnell really drives home how important integrity is, not just for avoiding lawsuits, but for building trust and relationships in business that, you know, that actually last.
No doubt about it. It's a good reminder that trying to cheat the system, it might seem like a quick win in the moment. But in this new legal world, it can easily backfire and cost you way more in the end.
So if there's one big takeaway for our listeners today, what would it be? What's the one piece of advice you would give to anyone who deals with contracts, whether they're writing them, negotiating them, or carrying them out?
I'd say this: ethical conduct. It's not optional anymore. It's not just a nice thing to have, it's essential. It matters legally, it matters for your reputation, and it matters for the health of your business in the long run. Don't let the chase for profit make you compromise your integrity. Remember the lessons from McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures and commit to operating with transparency, fairness, and a strong moral compass.
Well said. That's a great reminder that in the world of contracts, just like in life, doing the right thing is the best way to protect yourself, build solid relationships, and ultimately achieve real, lasting success. And with that, we've come to the end of our deep dive into McConnell v. Commonwealth Pictures. We hope this has been insightful, giving you some things to think about. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay ethical.